Hello and welcome to the pilot episode, the first episode of Raccoon City Radio. I am Alex O'Neill, your resident spooky boy, Chief Kennedy, first day on the job boy, and joining me, that's the best I got.
I appreciate it.
Joining me for the first time and for all times,
yeah.
My re-buddy, Andrew Taylor.
What's up? How's it going?
Hi, Andrew.
Not bad. Sorry. You didn't even ask me. Didn't even ask me.
No, I did. I said, what's up?
Oh, I don't know. I'm nervous.
Here we are. You're a little nervous. We're both a little nervous, I think. You just gotta wash it away. Don't show it.
Exactly.
Let the words flow.
Exactly.
Get that good audio.
Good audio.
Andrew, you and I are gathered here for this show for a very special reason, I think.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah, I'd
say. You've been excited about Resident Evil 2,
mm-hmm.
Parentheses, 2019, Jesus.
Yeah.
For, I would say, a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about this the other day. I was like, when did they announce this game? And then I realized it was like...
4 years ago or whatever, but...
Was it 4 years ago?
I mean, they announced that they were remaking RE2. It was, like, just before 7 came out,
okay.
Right? So that was 2017, so at least 2016.
But I mean, like, officially, they didn't show anything till
They didn't show anything until last year. Yeah,
That's when I didn't even... I wasn't even keeping tabs on it before then, until that trailer.
Wasn't even on the radar.
Yeah.
Although I think there was a lot of speculation going into that E3 that it was going to be the one that RE2 came out of,
mm-hmm.
but that announcement trailer, boy howdy,
yeah,
one of the best, I think.
It was really good. I just watched the Easy Allies crew again, and because Michael Huber, is that who you?
Mike Huber, boy, yeah.
He's a big Resident Evil fan, and he had like a Tim Geddes like. Reaction where he's like,
that's cool. His favorite game of all time.
Yeah, so he was very pumped. And I remember usually what I do is when E3 is kind of like Christmas for me.
Yeah,
it's for basically all gamers.
Yeah, gamers. Christmas and the Super Bowl, I think. Hashtag gamers rise up.
Yeah, yeah, that. It's basically a unification of Christmas and the Super Bowl, and it's for gamers. And so I remember watching that trailer, and obviously no one knew what it was until, like, the zombie, like, sticks his head up, and he's, like, looking at the camera, and then his head just explodes, and there's just Leon Kennedy standing behind him. He's like, Jesus Christ.
He's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so
the
amazing.
Most, like, exasperated. Yeah. It's so good.
It's really, really good.
We should talk about what we're doing here.
Oh, yeah,
I imagine the folks listening... They know us, and also, like, they know what this show is called. They know what it's about. They saw a tweet or something.
Yeah.
Like, I hope you, listener, aren't coming into this blind.
Yeah.
Like, on iTunes, like, scrolling through, like, new podcasts, like, oh, okay, this seems like a Raccoon City Radio. Maybe it's about raccoons.
A city full of raccoons?
Sounds a like, city full of raccoons.
Sounds like the Comedy Man. Button's personal hell.
Exactly.
If you get that reference.
We are garbage pandas. Yeah. Just running amok of podcasts everywhere. You, Andrew, had the idea for Raccoon City Radio. You wanted to talk about. You wanted to do a limited run podcast.
Six episodes. Yep.
Six episodes about Resident Evil 2.
Yeah. It's. I was thinking about this earlier today. Resident Evil is such a weird series for me because, first things first, listeners, I get scared very easily. Things just like spooky things scare me. All right. Like, I think that kind of just applies to everyone, but I think it affects everyone differently. Like, obviously, sometimes spooky things don't faze people. And that's, you know,
some people like it.
Some people really like it, which I think deep down, everyone actually likes to be scared just a little bit because it kind of just, you know,
reminds you how alive you are.
You're like, I'm alive. Like, so I'm here for it.
Slap in the vein. Like, yes, I found it.
And so what I was saying is like Resident Evil is kind of like a weird series for me because I 2 years ago, I played Resident Evil 4 at Irrational Passions, Extra Life for the first time ever.
In my house, yeah, in my basement.
Like, basically where you're sitting right now. And so I had never played that game before. Obviously, that's kind of where the series made, like, this big turn into, like, action-oriented, you know, like, shoot 'em and beat 'em up and all that stuff.
And, shoot 'em guns.
Yeah. And so it was a weird thing for me because I was like, oh, this is creepy, but, like, it's not bad because I'm kicking ass. And then I played.
And then you never touched it again.
I still haven't beaten it. And I was thinking about playing it again tonight because we just finished the demo, the Resident Evil 2 demo. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, man, I know Resident Evil 4 is not like this at all, but, like, I just want to play, like, Resident Evil.
It's coming to Switch. Yeah. Maybe that'll be the time.
Yeah, I'm excited for that, too. And then going from there, Resident Evil 7 came out, I think, like, maybe, was that the same year? Was that the
No, that was January of 2017. So
yeah,
2 years ago.
And then
so it was the January afterward. So
okay, yeah.
I think you were interested in RE7, and that's, I think, what sparked you playing 4.
Yeah.
That, and 4 is such, like, an influential, important video game that you and we found out, like, that weekend that you had never played a Resident Evil, specifically 4, and we're like, oh fuck, well.
Yeah.
We got to make you.
And that was
this.
Fun to have, like, Jarrett, you know, give us, like, information and little tidbits.
Give me that history lesson.
Yeah, yeah. That was really fun. And then, yeah, I played 7 for a little while. That game is fucking, like, scary as shit. Like, that's a scary game.
That's a scary game.
But I watched, like, Markiplier, like, play basically the whole fucking game. And so I basically know what happened. But, like, I might just go back and play it again, like, after I beat Resident Evil 2, because I think I'll be like, I've seen it all. I've been scared.
Yeah.
Like, nothing. I feel like RE2 is, you know.
Yeah, I feel like RE2 is going to be way scarier than.
Really? Okay.
I don't know for sure.
We can get into that for sure. But and then so then after that, I played, like, maybe the first hour of Resident Evil 7. I still have it on my shelf. I haven't played it. I'm a fucking fake gamer. And yeah.
Great game. Phenomenal game. I love RE7 so much.
Let's bring it back here. So Resident Evil 7, basically everything besides the scary stuff, like,
too spooky.
Yeah, too spooky.
But you liked it.
But I love Metroidvanias, and, like, that's exactly what that game is just going back and, you know, kind of exploring the same areas over and over and over again and finding secret passages. Like,
yeah, that was something that, like, connected with me about it too, of, like,
yeah.
I didn't know how Metroidvania that franchise is. And, like, I think the thing is, in the time, like, RE1 and 2, like, were that, but that wasn't, like, it was still, like, very close to Symphony of the Night, and that was still, like, a relatively recent term.
Yeah.
And the boundaries of what made a Metroidvania at the time was far more, like, it's a 2D platformer with a map, right? Like, versus now, where it's, like, backtracking is essentially and upgrades and keys are the things that kind of define the genre.
Yeah.
So, like, 7 as a modern game fits way more into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think similar to you is, like, a thing of, like, oh, this is exactly my kind of game.
Yeah.
Except it's scary, which is a little out of my comfort zone.
Exactly. And so from there, then we played. I came on Irrational Passions podcast, and somehow we got into the topic of, like, Resident Evil 5.
I think you were playing 4 again. You were trying to play 4.
Yeah, I was, like, trying to play, or I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to play 4 again or something like that. And then you're like, oh, well, you could play 5. We could play together. And then we, like, over a week, we beat Resident Evil 5 and we streamed it.
Yeah, the most important, like, line on this timeline is you and me sitting down and playing all of RE5 together.
Yeah, it was fun. That was really, really fun.
Which was legendary.
Controls
are
absolute garbage, but.
They're not that bad.
I made it happen, you know. The running and, like, stopping.
The running
and,
is
like,
not
having
great.
To, like, angle myself and, like, go to.
Stopping and shooting is rough.
Jesus Christ. Anyways, so beat that game. And now we're so close to the release, 2 weeks away at this point, from yesterday.
The time of recording.
Yeah, the time of recording. Demo just came out for Resident Evil 2. And I literally just finished it probably like an hour and a half ago. And you played it last night. So I don't know where you want to go from here. Do you want to talk about your history with Resident Evil and then go to the demo, or you just want to go to the demo?
Yeah, like, I think, like, we are, I would say both of us are kind of like Mayweather Resident Evil fans. Like, I came in at 4 and I played it on Wii when it came to Wii, which I believe was 2008. Mm-hmm. Might have been 07. And I got it. That was like, I got that through Gamefly when I was in high school. So, like, but like, it was frustrating for me because, like, when I was starting to get into games media when I was like 13, 14, which I know is like everyone out there rolling their eyes, mm-hmm. Et cetera, whatever. But RE4 came out in 2004, very, very, very important video game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's an M-rated video game. I'm like a 10-year-old, 11-year-old kid. Like, I didn't like it from the outside in because it's like, I can't play that game because it's M and it's because it's scary and I don't like scary things. I don't like scary games. I don't like horror movies. And it was like, it was the first time in games that I felt kind of like out of the loop. Like, I was getting left out of something important, yeah. Right? Which, like, to be fair, like, I imagine, like, a 15, 14-year-old kid who's, like, passionate and smart about games today, like, most of the biggest games are M-rated. Like, I feel like that frustration is still very present. It makes me more thankful and appreciative of things like Breath of the Wild or Mario Odyssey that, like, can have mature themes but tell them in a format that is, like, good for everyone, right?
Yeah.
It's like the SpongeBob rule of, like, you know, there's something here for everyone. It is deeper than just the surface. Mm-hmm. So I played, but then I eventually played RE4 when it came to Wii. I loved it. You know, it surprised me how much I liked it. It was definitely scary. That was like the first horror game I ever really played. And like you said, RE4 is like barely scary, but you know, the first two chapters of that game are very scary. I think. Like, up through that, the lake. I don't know if you got to the lake.
Yeah, I got to the lake. Like, I probably have, like, 6 hours in a Resident Evil 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, like, the village is very tense, I think, and then the village at night, which is chapter 2, very scary, I think.
Actually, I don't know if I got to
and then
part.
The castle, once you get to the castle, it's like, it gets more goofy, but there are parts about the castle that are scary. That's chapter 3, and...
Mm-hmm.
Then the lab, and then the island, and the island sucks. But I, you know, I loved RE4 when I got to it. I played through it multiple times, got the like infinite rocket launcher, all that stuff. I had a great time. Then I played 5 when it came out because it was co-op. A friend's close friend was huge into RE4, much like I was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I skipped 6 because of, it's a bad game. So I had only really played those two, and it was like, whatever. So when 7 was coming out, I was very excited. First person, which is kind of like my preferred perspective, I think. And they were doing... It felt like a reset for that franchise. Still is, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I'll say, like, one of my favorite things about the demo, once we get into it, is how much like RE7 it feels, which is a lot. But yeah, I think in a similar boat to you, there's kind of always been this arm's length appreciation for the franchise.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
I just wanted to get into it, but I'm not huge on horror. I'm like more into horror now than I ever have been, at least in the video game space. I still think most horror movies are bad, but that's whatever. That's just I can be wrong about that and be totally happy to be. I tried to go back and play the remake of 1 and just could not get into it. But like it's a similar thing to what you're saying of like, man, the backtracking, the maps, the weird obtuse puzzles, like this is basically a point and click adventure game was how I felt about Resident Evil 1.
Yeah.
Like this is basically Maniac Mansion just in 3D.
Yeah.
Which, if you think about it, it totally is. And I was like, man, I would love this game, but it just, it was too old.
And it didn't,
you know,
age
like,
well. I mean...
For me, you know.
I agree with that, you know, too. I mean, I think for a lot of people, it probably is the same.
Age like a fine wine, I think. Yeah. For me, yeah.
Like, the other day, I've been jonesing to play RE2, and I was excited when the demo was announced, like, earlier in the week. And I was like, yeah, I wonder how much the original Resident Evil 2 is on, like, Vita, you know, like PS1 Classic or whatever. It's like $5. I was like, okay, why not? I'll crank up my Vita. God rest its soul. And crank that thing up. Literally 30 seconds in the game, I was like, I can't play this. The controls, it is shot to hell. Like, I cannot play this game. And so it just does not age well. And maybe it's easier to do it on a controller versus, you know, a little handheld. But I gave up pretty fast on that. So there's $5 that I'll never get back. But
I think, like, keep in mind, like, I think RE2 came out before the DualShock.
It, like, says DualShock Edition.
Yes, that's right. There's the DualShock Edition. So I forgot. Like, the original version of RE2, yeah, it didn't, like, came out before the DualShock. Like, we're talking, these are old games, right? And I think that was, like, I was so excited for the remake. I definitely, like, I wasn't, like, on either side of, like, should it have fixed cameras or should it be third person? Mm-hmm. I think I probably prefer, like, third person camera.
Me too. That's who I am. Yeah.
Yeah, that's who I am too, and I think it also makes it more modern, but also it ups the tension a little bit for me. And like, Michael Huber has always been out there talking about like, those fixed cameras, like, set a tone and set a tension, level of tension there, because you're not in control of the camera, which I totally understand. And there are parts of the Resident Evil 1 remake that I see that working for, but yeah, I'm excited. The format it is a modern video game. It is, like, a retelling of this game too, and you know, we're about to get into the demo, but, like, seeing all the Metroidvania-ness of that demo is like, man, fuck yes.
Yeah.
Like, this is so cool, this is so my jam.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna do this limited run series, we're gonna do these episodes as we play the game, so we're gonna kind of stop at certain points and like, talk about up until that point, kind of like a Irrational Passion Show video game book club. I think it's going to be a little bit slower pace, and the episodes are going to be a little bit shorter. I still don't necessarily know where this is going to be. It'll be out there, though,
yeah. It'll be out there, and I think another thing that people might need to bookmark is the fact that I've tried to think of ways how we could go about not spoiling the game for people. But honestly, like, if we want to get into the minutia of things, like, you really have to, like, talk about spoilers. And
my estimation is that we are going to be, everyone who's listening will have either finished it already or be way ahead of us.
Yeah. Because, like, if we can cut it up the way that we've been talking about, the way we want to cut it up, which is by areas or chapters or whatever, then people have more than enough time to catch up to the episodes that, you know, or they'll be ahead of us more than likely. And then
exactly,
you know,
people will definitely be ahead of us, I think.
Or if you just don't give a shit about Resident Evil and you want to listen to a podcast,
because, like, we are being, I think, spoiler conscious of one another.
Oh yeah, that's more.
We're both going in relatively blind. Have you, like, read a summary or anything on RE2? I feel like you told me that you read a Wikipedia summary late at night once.
I'll tell you what my day was yesterday. The whole, I work 8-hour days, 8 a.m. to 5. I get an hour lunch, whatever.
We get it. You're a big boy.
Thank God, I'm back again after being unemployed for like 7 months. I just followed this guy on YouTube, and I can't remember what his name was. If I can look it up for another episode, I'll make sure to shout him out or anything. But he's literally going through the entire lore of Resident Evil, like, from every single game. And every episode that he has on YouTube, and he'll use, like, clips from the game and stuff like that. And he's basically just kind of, he's not even summarizing things. He's, like, going into, like, the deep cuts of, like, what's going on and when's it happening and what game is this happening in and stuff like that. And I listened to the first two episodes yesterday, and that was 4 hours. And I wasn't even done with
RE1.
No, I was done with RE1.
You were in Resident Evil 0 still?
Yeah. I had just finished Resident Evil 2. And because, like, for people who don't know, or, you know, if you are a Resident Evil fan and, like, you know, you're more versed in it than us, Like, there's like five games happening at the same time as Resident Evil 2. There's like Raccoon City Operation or whatever.
Oh, fuck, really?
Yeah, like I think there's two of those games or something like that. And then
I know of one. We did a stream on Irrational Passions in like 2012 of Operation Raccoon
City.
That's
amazing.
That's a bad video game.
I would love to watch that stream.
I wish if it's archived somewhere, you should seek it out. But boy, howdy, that was like
it doesn't look good. But
it is so bad.
It looks like an arcade shooter. But like he didn't even go to the length of say whether the game was good or bad. He's literally just giving me the lore, the history of Resident Evil.
Just give me
so I'm like,
all
right, cool. That's all I care about. That's all I really want to know. And so like that game's going on. Resident Evil 2 is happening. Resident Evil 3 is happening. Like another.
I knew 3 and 2 happened at the same time.
Yeah. Well, 3 actually starts before 2. Goes during 2 and then ends after 2. Like 2 is done before even 3.
The Darksiders 2 of Resident Evil.
Yeah. And so he was going through all of those games simultaneously. And like Leon was here and like say like Jill Valentine was actually here. Like she was knocked out. She was like in a coma, like in some church or something like that. And some
nice
random dude was like watching over her or something like that. Billy Cohen's in Resident Evil Zero. And so yeah, I just got into like the really fine print of Resident Evil, and I'm gonna continue to watch those videos while I work. I was just listening to it. I wasn't even watching it. So
I know nothing about Resident Evil 2 going into it. I know Leon's in it. I know Claire's in it. There's a guy named Mr. X.
Ada's.
I didn't even know Ada was there until I saw the trailer with her in it. I was like, "Oh, Ada's in this game." I watched the Game Grumps play through Resident Evil 1, which was great.
That sounds amazing.
And I highly
recommend
it.
I'll do that later.
I would recommend it. Aaron's like very, very good at that game. So, which he doesn't play a lot of games that he's good at, and they're very happy to point out, like, "Hey guys, I'm good at this one." Throughout that whole playthrough, it's very
amazing.
They plow through that game, and that was fun. It was cool getting like Danny's fresh perspective on it too.
Yeah, I like that.
So that's the only prep work I did. So I'm going into Resident Evil 2 pretty much completely.
Yeah, and
blind.
And same here. You know,
see, you just know everything that happened.
I'm trying to like figure out like where the virus happened, blah blah blah. Who's responsible? What's going on?
Have you heard of the Umbrella Corporation?
Yeah, yeah.
Bad dudes.
I probably know more about them now than I have.
Never wanted to.
It's just very melodramatic. But
now, here's the thing, cool, Andrew. There's like a cave in Africa with a plant.
Yeah, that was actually the first thing that happened in the first video is like they showed the cave.
And they made the T-virus.
Yes. Yeah. Bastards.
From the plant. Yeah, fucking bastards. What a great twist in RE5.
Yeah, whoa.
Again, imagine going to that game, being a huge Resident Evil lore head, and not knowing that that was in there.
Yeah. Everything's changed. That would have blown your fucking face off.
So we're gonna be playing through it. I think the intent before we're about to talk about the demo, but before we get into that, I know, sorry, this has been a very long
it's been
intro,
winded and I just good. Keep talking, so
no, you're perfect and beautiful. Shush.
Thanks.
We are gonna try and play through the police station as we're gonna play the Leon campaign first.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna play the Claire campaign after we finish that.
Yeah.
We're gonna try and get through the police station. But honestly, like if you already know all the story beats of RE2, maybe you can do a little research and find some non-spoilery checkpoints for me.
Yeah.
And we can break it up that way.
Yeah.
Just to protect myself. So then you can get my raw reactions.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're going to play through it. It's going to be 6 episodes is the hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice little short podcast series. We're going to just talk about the game as we play through it again, like video game book club, but a little bit more intimate and a little tighter, because it's just the two of us.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe this will be on irrationalpatch.com. maybe
I would be 100% fine with that, even if it's my day.
Yes. I would be too. I just, you know, I can't just make decisions on my own anymore.
Yeah, that's fine.
They won't let me. It's respectful.
I appreciate that though, actually.
Yeah. Got to look out for boys. All right, let's get into the demo.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea for a demo. I like it. One shot. You get one playthrough, 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I played it in two sittings because I started it Thursday night after it like dropped at midnight, and played the first 10 minutes of it. What's cool is if you pause it, it will pause your timer. Mm-hmm. And you can see how much time you have left in the upper right corner.
Yep.
And then I was very, very sleepy from sitting and editing a bazillion hours of Game of the Year podcasts, which should all be out, and you should go listen to them if you are listening to this. RationalBash.com. See what we chose for our Game of the Year. There's two of them. We have an editorial and a Rational Passions podcast one. So, but I was very tired, very sleepy, so I put my Xbox to sleep, and I came back to it the next night and played my remaining 17 minutes and 33 seconds last night. I want to general broad thoughts, broad strokes. What did you think, Andrew, of the demo?
Okay.
What do you think of RE2?
So
as I crack this Dr. Pepper open.
Yeah, nice. That was perfect.
I got you.
Because I tweeted out, I was like, I just finished the demo. My excitement's through the roof. And like, I could tell you how hyped I am about it and keep going from there, but I'm going to try to be focused here and just say...
nuanced. Yeah.
And so, basically, this is the same demo that they played at E3. And so, if you've seen that, then you pretty much know the demo. But right off the bat, I was like, this feels so nice. And like, it mm-hmm. controls incredibly, incredibly well. And I have recently become like a PC boy and blah, blah, blah. I don't want to get that conversation. But like, as someone who likes the controls of a PC now compared to a regular controller, it felt really, really good. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm making the right. I feel like for me to like consume this game, I'd rather just sit on my couch and maybe like have Liza watch or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Definitely have company because it'll reduce the scary factor.
And she was watching me play the demo. It felt good on a controller. It looks great.
Looks very good.
The lighting is incredibly creepy. And I was like, this is a really, really good looking game. And you know,
it's very atmospheric.
Yeah. So we can spoil, if we're going to spoil the game, we can spoil the demo, right?
Yeah.
I mean, why the fuck not?
If you are coming into this blind, like it's at most the first 30 minutes of the game. So like, you know, chill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of Leon's campaign. Leon, I don't even know what the fuck Claire starts with.
Yeah. Who knows either. So you crawl under the gate or whatever, and you're walking down the hallway. I've seen people play this demo like 5-10 times now at this point, and so I know where to go, I know what to do. But as someone who is playing this for the first time, I was like moving super slowly because I'm still thinking that something's going to come out and grab me, you know?
Yeah. TTZ is very good. Time to Zombie.
Yeah.
It's a nice long
It is really nice because... I think they make the player think that like once you get onto that grate, there's going to be zombies everywhere, but it's not.
That it's just going to pop off.
Yeah. So I'm like going through the hallway, whatever. I, you know, flip over the, there's like a shelf or whatever I have to like put back in place to like get through the, like the.
And you're like waiting for something to
grab
you.
Yeah, I'm like, something's going to just grab me on the other side of this fucking thing. Nothing happens, whatever. Make it to that office and then. You know, you hear that guy screaming. He's like, help me, help me, whatever, blah. Lift that up, and then, you know, he gets fucking eaten to shreds. There's blood all over.
Ripped in half, like, yeah. His intestines are pouring over the ground.
Liza was like, Jesus. And I'm like, yeah. Leon Liddy was like, Jesus Christ. He picks up his notebook, walks away, you know. But then...
First day on the job.
Yeah, first fucking day on the job. Poor guy. But then there's that first zombie encounter. And he's, mm-hmm. like, pounding on the door into that little office. Mm-hmm. And he just busts through. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I was like, zombie! I screamed. And it's like, I was playing with the gun controls before even crawling under the grate to get down in that hallway. And so, like, the reticle doesn't zero in. Unless for like maybe like a second or two.
Yeah, I was going to say, I love this.
I love that because it's going to be incredibly tense to get those narrowed headshots. In headshots because you got to stand still for like a second or two and then it's zeroed in, and then you can get a headshot, whether it be on their, well, their head, or like if you're shooting body parts off or whatever.
It's a really clever mechanical change, like to have the reticle like visibly clock in.
Yeah.
Of like, I wish there was kind of like more of like a Leon, because he's, you know, he's holding the gun. I appreciate that he holds his gun correctly, like light up and like resting on the arm.
Yeah.
But I wish there was kind of like maybe like a more of like a, he kind of settles into a stance, to kind of other visual cues to let you know that the reticle is now as tight as it's going to get. Mm. But it's just like,
oh, that'd be cool.
It's such a smart way to manufacture tension, on a mechanical level of like, if I wait this out, I will have a, I know where the bullet will, yeah, go, versus kind of sporadically shooting, mm-hmm, where it is all over the place. Yeah. And it's kind of like you're taking a second to like zone in. And in moments where like three or four zombies are coming at you, like that is a lot of time.
You're going to have to pick and choose which one you're going to want to just slow down, because if there's more than two, you're basically boned. Unless, you know, you can't just, like, that's the thing about Resident Evil is like, this is not, you know, obviously whatever four, but like, this is not, I'm going to stand and fight all these dudes and like, I'm going to win, because, mm-hmm, ammo is limited. That's like a staple of Resident Evil, is like resources, mm-hmm, are incredibly limited, and like you have to use them smart, yeah, like in, yeah, a smart way. And so
they created the genre of, yeah, survival horror.
And so the greatest part of that moment when the zombie comes busting through the office is, okay, so I know, you know, I didn't just run under the gate, and you know, I know that the thing has to take a second, the reticle has to take a second to lock in before I can take a shot. So my first shot is directly in his face. So I'm like, hell yeah, let's go. Shoot his hat off. I run past him, and then like another zombie like wakes up or whatever. I think it might smash through the window. And yes, that part's incredibly tense, because I didn't kill that zombie I shot. He's still alive. He's still walking. And then there's another zombie that jumped through a window. But then I go down this hallway, and then there's these two zombies that just come out of like behind these vending machines, and I'm like, shit. And I screamed, and I turned into a room. And it's funny, because like I said, at this point, I know where to go, but I got so scared that I completely veered off where I knew I was supposed to be going. And there's a zombie standing there. So there's five zombies chasing me, and I'm like, yeah, shit. And I got back to where I got. And then, and that's when you meet Marvin. Yeah. Lieutenant Marvin.
Marvin the Martian, yeah, from the Nickelodeon show.
So yeah, that was like the first 4 or 5 minutes of the demo. And like,
yeah,
it was fucking rad.
It's super good. Like, I think what I like to, so the demo starts when Leon gets to the police station, which I know is not the opening of the game, mm-hmm, which is cool. So it's like still that to me. And again, like I'm going in almost completely blind. Mm-hmm. I had an opportunity to play the demo at PAX West. Line kept on that. Completely, immediately.
That'd
so
awesome.
Like, absolutely, yeah, no time, no chance to really play it. So it's cool to kind of really sit down and play it and kind of like just kind of fumble around and see what I can find. I notice a lot of the same things that you notice too, which is cool. The lighting, creepy, the atmosphere, the vibes.
There's no music playing.
No, yeah, it's dead silent,
yeah,
in the worst way. Like you can kind of hear things shaking. It's funny because like that scene that you're talking about where you have to like move the shelf up and you're mashing the button to get it up. I don't know. Are you familiar with like the whole dog thing that they changed in the Resident Evil remake? The first game?
No. But that's
so funny. There's like one of the most infamous jump scares in video games is in Resident Evil 1. There is a scene where you're going through a hallway and a dog jumps through a window.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen
that. In Resident Evil Remake, they changed it so that way when you're going through that hallway the first time, the music screeches and there's like a moment and the window just cracks. And then you go through that hallway again and nothing happens. And the third time you go through that hallway, dogs jump through. And I've heard like stories of like they specifically altered things from the first game to fuck with people.
Yeah.
Because which is
they
awesome.
Don't want to I know what you're talking about, because I've read basically pretty much everything I can read. I've watched pretty much everything I can watch on the video game. And so, like, they've basically said this game is for people who love the original, but also for people who are coming on, like, completely brand new, me and you.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, there's going to be things that people recognize, but, like, they want to make it fresh as much as possible. And I think that's important because even if it does look great, even if it does play really well, I feel like if I was a seasoned Resident Evil 2 fan and, like, I knew everything, I think that'd still get boring for me. And so, like, I think with, like, these little changes that they're making, I think that's really smart because it still keeps it fresh, you know? So,
yeah. And that stuff's cool. So I wonder if there's going to be anything different from the demo to the final game that just to fuck with people.
Yeah.
Hopefully. But if not, I'd understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, one of the, like, things that jumped out to me, again, of, like, strange little things, one that I love the police station. There are parts of it where I'm like, this isn't, like, no actual police station has, like, a full library.
Yeah.
Like, a two-story library with, like, broken down boards that you can't run across and you fall through the floor. Like, that's not, no actual police station has that. But again, like, that's, I think this is, it was cool getting into it and, like, getting the map and, like, seeing all the doors from the entrance hall mm-hmm. of, like, oh, like, I'm going to go through different areas and come back to this kind of hub area multiple times.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know about that. So seeing the Metroidvania kind of aspects of it, was really cool. The big sentiment I had was like, man, this is very much like a Resident Evil 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you didn't play a lot of it, but like the inventory screen is almost identical. The way the inventory is laid out is very similar. Not that that's a bad thing.
A lot of I've seen a lot of people complain about it though. It's like, oh, they just copied and pasted, you know, Resident Evil 7. It's like, yeah, because that game was really good and a lot of people really enjoyed what they made changes to. And, like, some people have made sense, or some people have made comments about, oh, you know, like, the interaction button is the exact same thing as Resident Evil 7. Why does that matter? Why does that?
It's also
why
like
does
a
that,
video game.
Yeah, it's a video game. Like, why does that? Does that do something yeah, for I mean, you? Like,
I don't know what making the like some of those UI parts of RE2 like different from 7. I don't know. How that would make the game stronger, right? Like, it is, like, they're running on the same engine, and it shows, like, visually, and like, the lighting, I think the lighting engine is very similar, but, like, that shit worked.
Yeah.
I think fidelity-wise, because, like, we are more into the PS4 Pro, Xbox One X aspects, like, the latter half of the generation, like, fidelity-wise, everything looks a lot better than it did in 7. Like, the minute details, the character models, I think, are way better. Still a little weird in some regards, but way better. Yeah. Some of you like the ambient animation, like I'll get into it in a little bit, but like the little touches on a lot of things are very, very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, this is a lot like 7, and I really like 7.
Yeah.
So I was stoked about it. And it was cool because like you go into that locker room. And like you see like a little like utility belt pouch. I'm like, cool. Like you'll be able to expand your inventory. That's so cool. Like that's such a meaningful upgrade in a game like this. Mm-hmm. And again, meaningful upgrades is what makes Metroidvanias like so great for me. So,
yeah.
One little thing that I noticed was like, I think it was that locker room and I was like, you know, there's zombies kind of strewn across the ground or they're corpses, right? And I had a thought of like, oh, I bet some of these corpses are going to get back up and be zombies when I kind of pass through here again. And I saw a corpse on the ground that had like an arm missing. I'm like, oh, that probably won't get back up, because it's got an arm missing. So it's not like whole, but then that totally did.
Yeah.
And I noticed it was like the guy, oh, it's the one guy with one arm. It's like it challenged like some of this like very basic video game trope, so well and so quickly, like that the turnaround on that was like maybe a minute and a half.
Yeah.
But it was like such a pleasant surprise. But the little things I was kind of talking about earlier, like the way zombies reach out toward you, as they're walking around, and like the way they kind of crane their neck and like move their arms up, because like there's such a like the classic Romero zombie stock animation of like arms up, like kind of like
the Frankenstein walk a little bit.
Yeah. Is like done up, like glowed up in a way in this game, like that makes it like genuinely unsettling of like, because like if they're like coming around a corner, their like arms will kind of reach out to you first, and then their heads will come over, and then their bodies will kind of follow.
Yeah.
Like this like instinctual virus.
To me, like their movements feel very RNG. And for those who don't know what RNG means, just random number generator. And it just feels like so just random. It doesn't feel like the animations are even
stock.
You know, that's what's super creepy, but also like very exciting to me is like this. It's the little details. One thing I've always kind of learned from either, you know, going to school for music or, you know, whatever projects I was ever been working on, whether it be in college or high school, is like the more layers you put onto something, the better it's going to be. And like with little details like that, like that's such a little thing, but it just looks so good. Like I know what you're saying. I you know, like the hand is going for you, but their head hasn't turned yet, you know, and the movement,
but it is
so,
like very slowly.
Yeah,
the kind of gradual nature to it, the fact that no two of them reaching out to you looks quite the same, kind of like what you're saying.
That's
like
such a good feeling though.
It's really cool. Like it makes you feel like you're playing in a horror movie. And it's like that's the kind of stuff that wasn't in 7, because I feel like 7 had probably a smaller budget than this. Not that that like hurt that game at all. I think that game thrived under the like development it was in. But it stands out. Like that's that big budget money.
Yeah.
Like coming out with those animations and stuff. It's like, man, this is just chef's kiss. It's perfect.
It's like I said, it's the little details. That's one of them.
You got to the end of the demo. I did not.
Yeah, so I finished the little mission that Marvin kind of sends you on. He doesn't really, maybe I missed something, but he doesn't really go into like what you're supposed to be doing. And like I said earlier, the only reason I knew where I needed to go and what I needed to do is because I've been watching, like speedrunners have already tried, you know, beating this game in under like a couple minutes. And I watched someone last night who did it in 2 minutes and 50 seconds, and like, he knew exactly when to turn a corner, you know, knew exactly when the zombie was going to pop out, shot them directly in the face, just real quick, ran past them, you know, like it was timed. So like he knew what he was doing. And so I've watched that like a couple times, and so I knew what I needed to do. And so I didn't want to like obviously rush through it the way they do, because that's kind of like their bread and butter is speedrunning, and speedrunning is actually really cool to watch sometimes.
We're in the thick of awesome games done quick. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. And so I did a little bit more exploring. I wanted to, in the speed run, they don't even go for the shotgun. You know, they don't even go in the weapons locker.
It's a nice shotgun, too.
Yeah, it only gets 4 shells right off the bat, and I wasted those because like a couple zombies walked in like right after me, and then I turned around and like I missed one of my shots, which was embarrassing, but you can't really miss much with a shotgun. But yeah, like I went into the weapons locker, and because I got the key card, and that's like in a random room. And like I took a look at the map and everything like that. So like I wanted to kind of figure out how I was going to, you know, play this the first time. Like when the official
game not have a timetable against me when I play it. Like I'm excited to be able to just stare at the map for 15
like
minutes.
Like Capcom knew what they were doing. Like they wanted to get, it's a tease. Like they're saying, hey, you can play this for 30 minutes. You're only going to be able to play it once. And even that has, I think that might've rubbed off some people in the wrong way, because like PC players, like they have to like delete a little bit of coding or whatever. And now they can play the demo like as many times as they want. I saw like Dual Shockers like wrote an article about that yesterday. I think Steven Santana.
I was going to say Logan Moore reporting on it.
Yeah.
Hot off the press.
Yeah. I think one of them actually did that, but, yeah, I mean, it's a tease, but it's so good because it's like, this is only 2 weeks away. Like, I know 2 weeks is going to feel like a long time, and it will, especially with something that you're super excited about, but...
I mean, just fill the time with Tales of Vesperia, my dude. Don't worry about it.
If you're into that.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you. We'll do that on Vesperia City Radio, or other podcast we're starting.
But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to put it into feelings. Like, you have to kind of play it, but... Like I was saying before, it's those little details, man. Like, and for me, there's just this weird draw for me with Resident Evil, and I think like there's obviously a lot of love for this game because a lot of people consider this the best Resident Evil game ever, like the original, like the 1998 one. Whether that be gameplay, like I said, I played the DualShock version on Vita the other night, played about 30 seconds and put that shit away. I think, you know, like back in the day, like when that was all you had, I think a lot of people had a lot of nostalgia for it, and still do. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a weird, I'm such a weird spot with horror games. Like, I want to be scared and I want to play them, but like.
The thing is, like, I think this game is going to be very scary. Yeah.
And go into that a little bit because, like, RE7. And I told you, I think might have been before we even recorded, like I know exactly what happens in that game, but I still want to play it because it's scary. Because I watched Markiplier play the whole thing. And so, yeah. The
first half of 7 is pretty scary. Yeah. Second half, I don't think is... There's kind of like a crescendo point. Like when you beat the second major boss, which is like the mom, old lady.
She's scary. She's scary, dude.
She's scary, but like I feel like that boss fight is so long that it just wears the horror right out of you. Like, and then after that point, like you've got a flamethrower, a shotgun, and a handgun. Like, you're like, all right,
you're gonna go.
Like, I'll be all right.
Let's do it at the end
of the day, yeah. But like the first time I encountered like the kind of stock enemy of that game, fucking scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And then obviously the 40th time I encountered her, I was like, all right, whatever, these guys are lame.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I think, like, because it's weird, because I, you know, 1 and 2, and I suppose 3, depending on who you are, would be the scariest of all the games, because there's literally a thing that you can't beat chasing you the whole game. I mean, you can beat it, but not reasonably.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, 1 and 2 are, you know, survival horror bread and butter. And, you know, 1, to be fair, is not... There's not a lot of jump scares, not a lot of cheap scares. In 1, it is a lot more of like tension and atmosphere. And I think 2 will certainly be that. It's a lot of like body horror too, like graphic physical dismemberment and whatnot. And there's, you know, there's like, I would say a couple of moments in the demo. Like they teased the liquor in the demo. It's great that we played 5.
And I got to that.
I didn't get to that.
Oh, yeah. So, did you get up to the part where you grab the key? Like, it's in the tower.
No.
So, I got to that part, and I could have gone back to just unlock the door, and then I would have just gotten right back to Marvin right away, because there's, like, a door at the end of, like, the bottom of these stairs or whatever that's, like, in the tower. But, like, if you go pick up the key and go to the left, there's, like, a brand new hallway. And I went that way, and I'm walking down this hallway, and the lighting, once again, fucking amazing.
Yes.
And this thing...
seems very dark, yeah, which I like.
This thing just fucking runs across the window. And I was like, I know what you are, bitch. Like, I jumped, because I was like...
But you were like, Jesus!
Yeah, I was like, Jesus! Because, like, there was no music playing. But right when it ran across the window, obviously it's, you know, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, fuck. And then, like, I took a turn down the hallway, and, like, it's, you know, you can still hear it kind of, like, crawling, and it's, like, making noises and stuff like that, but it's, like, it's going away from you. And so, the demo is such a tease, because, like, you want to explore the whole area.
Yeah.
But
oh, no,
you just
I did,
don't have
I did
time.
See the...
Yeah.
I did see the liquor go across the window.
And maybe it might have been a different part of the police
station. I feel like I came at it from a different angle, though.
You might have, yeah. It might just be random. Who knows?
Which is cool.
That'd be cool if it was random, yeah.
The big jump scare moment in the demo is like when you see the body in that hallway. It's right near there. See the body hanging from the ceiling, and then you look up, and it falls a little bit, and you're like...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I turned the corner, I saw some legs. I was like, all right, cool. I just kept going.
All right, fuck this hallway and this whole building, actually.
Yeah.
Did you walk outside the front door of the police station?
I did not, no.
You can. Yeah. I did. It's just like a gate with zombies pressed up against it. Nothing
happens. Figured.
No loading screens between doors. I believe original Resident Evil 2 had that.
Yeah, I think so.
Where it showed the door opening animation. Very infamous in Resident Evil.
Yeah.
What's even more so than 7, I think, is just like doors just kind of slide open. Which is both scary and not scary. Because like it just makes everything like so much more accessible. Like enemies can get to you so much easier.
Yeah.
But yeah, like there's not a lot of jump scares in this, but you know, I just associate everything pre-4 with like more of the horror.
Yeah, that's what that's what I was trying to say earlier, is like that's because like once 4 happens, you know,
like, yeah, let me tell you about Resident Evil 6, Andrew.
Oh yeah,
it's a depressing.
I thought about it the other day. I was like, it is,
Resident Evil 6 caused my clinical depression.
It's a
actually.
Resident Evil game. I could buy it. I could play it. It was like $10 or whatever on PS.
The thing is, like, I would play it with you, but we would.
I would
like. There's probably
be
there's no fun to be had in that game. Yeah. Like
Jacob Bryan's already gone through that with you.
Yeah, I like, and I think Jacob Bryan and I had as much fun with Resident Evil 6 as you can, and we still both didn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people.
But you can watch the videos of us playing it and have a good time.
Link me up to that later.
I'll send it to you because there's one, because it was like the first Let's Play series that I sat down and like edited by hand instead of just like kind of uploaded and exported. Mm-hmm. And there's some good shit in there.
Oh, I'm excited.
There's one thing in particular that's involving a snowmobile that's very good. But yeah. You know, there's not a lot of jump scares in the demo, but I see the trailer that they play after the demo is over is a hype trailer, one. But it has like a giant alligator monster in it. Mm. There's some scary shit in the trailer, you know? I don't know what to expect.
Because, like, I know that fucking thing is going to be way scarier than the lake thing in Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, because you're like in it, you know. Yeah. And also, like, that means I have to go through a sewer at some point.
I have to go through a sewer. It's going to be narrow. This thing is going to be chasing me, because like if that's like Mr. X for Leon, where this thing's chasing you, that's when I'm going to be upset. But I'm going to like try to.
That's Andrew texting me at 3:00 in the morning, like, I'm upset.
I'm really upset. And like that's another thing, is like obviously Mr. X isn't in this demo. But just think about him chasing you through those hallways.
Yeah, that seems like a bad time.
Like, and you can hear him coming. Like, that sounds awful. And I think that's just going to be in Claire's...
Yeah, that's just Claire's game.
Claire's game. And then I think he does show up when you play Ada or something like that on Leon's portion of the game. But I don't know. They might have changed that.
Do you get to play as Ada?
Yeah, you get to play as Ada in this game.
That's cool. I never played the Ada part of RE4. I heard it wasn't that good. So
I didn't know she had a part. I remember her being there, but...
It was like an expansion to that game, which I'm trying to figure out how they did it, because that was pre-DLC, that game. I don't know. Maybe they did like a goatee edition with...
Who knows? Like a special edition with like built-in content or whatever. But is there anything else that you... Because it's just a bite-sized demo, you know? But like,
yeah, it's very bite-sized, but like, just, you know, like I doubt we'll be talking about the mechanics of the game as much when we're like in it more so than sections in the story. Yeah, I don't know. Everything about it really spoke to me. Like because traditional Resident Evil, like my only brush with it is Resident Evil 7, which is kind of like a back to its roots type thing. Mm. And this is so much, it really is bridging the gap, right? Like, that's why I'm so excited about it, because 2 is kind of like the biggest story, from what I understand, in the first three Resident Evil games, like, never fucked with them. Two is, like, the most liked, the most likable. And I'm just really excited to see why people love this game so much.
Mm.
And that's just genuinely just wonderful for me. But also to, like, have it have those aspects of, like, the point-and-click adventure of, like, examining your items, combining items. Like,
forgot about that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, all the stuff, the trappings of Resident Evil that have aged well versus, like, the things that haven't, right? And then, like, looks, like, just as a video game, it is, like, one of the most visually impressive third-person shooters I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
Like, it's not quite, like, Naughty Dog Uncharted levels, but, like, it's the stuff, like, the animations on the zombies and stuff that's, like, I've never seen this in a video game before.
The reticle.
Yeah,
like,
the reticle zooming,
in.
The locking
in. I personally have never, I don't think I've ever played a game like that either.
Yeah.
It just,
I don't know.
It's tension. It's all about tension.
Seven isn't like that, right? Seven has, like, you have, like, kind of, like, the bob. Like, the,
yeah.
It's not quite centered all the time, but it doesn't have, like, the locking in.
I think,
I like how tight the shooting feels too.
It was,
like,
really nice.
I will say, like, I did not have a shortage of items by any means.
No,
in the demo.
That,
like,
that was what
I was
going
to
say. I was like, I think they're really being generous on this demo because I
had about 26 herbs.
Oh, I only had one herb, but I had like 40 bullets. I'm like, I can just fucking take all.
Yeah,
all these
I had
46 dudes.
Handgun ammo. Obviously, the shotgun ammo harder to get by.
Yeah, I only have four.
It's not like a single headshot will take out a given zombie.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there was, like, weapon crafting or upgrades in 2 originally.
I don't think there was. I did find gunpowder, but I didn't find, like, the other thing about it, or, like, the other...
Yeah, so you can combine 2 gunpowders together to make handgun bullets, but, like, if it's, like, 7, which I imagine it is, you can probably combine it with other things to make other kinds of ammo or other things, like explosives or whatnot, which is, like, a really cool thing in 7 that was introduced in 7. Like, the whole gunpowder thing was introduced in 7, so it was cool to see that come back. There might be weapon upgrades in this, like there was in 7 too, which is really cool. I'm just excited to see more.
Yeah, I think there are weapon upgrades, by the way.
Cool.
Based on, like, the demos I've seen, Leon gets there's like a stock he can get for his pistol. So, like, I think you can, I think maybe the locking in might go away if you get the stock.
Where it's faster, maybe.
Yeah, you might be able to aim down sights faster. Claire gets like a stock for her rocket launcher or whatever that is, like a grenade launcher.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, another thing I was going to point out before we wrap up here is one thing I'm going to have to like keep in mind is like, you know, Resident Evil is obviously really well known for inventory, like taking care of your inventory. Like before I even found that like little hip pouch that you can find in the demo, I was like, I was, for some reason I wasn't thinking, I was just like picking up things. I'm like, why am I picking this up? Like I could come back and get this if I actually needed this, but I was like picking up gunpowder, but like, why would I pick that up if I don't have another gunpowder, you know, or
throw it in your box, baby.
Yeah. Oh, is there a box?
I was
going
to say like, there's like a safe room.
Oh.
I love the safe room because it's like an officer, like a lieutenant in the police force, and he like has a camera on his desk, and there's like a room off to the side that is a dark room that you can develop photos in, and the photos are hints. You can find like camera, like photo rolls. Like,
I'm
going to
be
so fucking hard right now.
Spending like so much time in this fucking police.
Like, and like you can go in, turn off the light, and put on the red light, and like, Roxanne, and develop the photos in this guy's office, and then like they have hints to like the one I saw was like a hint to where one of the medallions is.
Yeah.
It's like, this is so fucking cool.
It's
like,
gonna be
again.
It's gonna be a meaty game.
Yeah, I don't know, and like the fact that you totally missed that is like
didn't even know that
it's like a totally missable thing, right? Yeah. Like that's so cool, and it's, you know, it's a safe room,
yeah,
but it like feels like it has context, right? It's like this officer on the police force that likes that is a photographer, so he has a dark room. Maybe he's like the evidence collector and like he takes photos of crime scenes. Like like there's so much you can construe. The environments are so well crafted. Yeah, I'm very excited to just explore. And this is like the first place.
Yeah.
Like I assume there will at some point be an underground lab, But outside of that, like, I don't know. Like, it's the only game, I think, that takes place, mainline game that takes place in Raccoon City, I guess, aside from 3. And that's cool, because, like, I don't know anything about Raccoon City.
There's just, like, that excitement of, like, exploring areas of, like, the city that's, like, getting taken over by a bunch of zombies. But also, like, another thing for me is that's exciting is, like, there's a bunch of other games happening at the same time. Like, there's shit going down when you're doing, like, all of your stuff, too.
The thing, like the way they're probably going to tie in other things is going to be very cool to see in this game.
And maybe they'll even give call-outs to, like, those games that weren't very good, like Operation Raccoon City. Maybe there's a call-out to that somehow, like some little thing.
Probably like an Easter egg or something.
Yeah. And another thing I was going to say was, like, honestly, like, we might owe this game to Resident Evil 6. Because, like, 6 was so... a lot of people didn't like 6. Like, it wasn't received well.
It's a bad video.
And then they were like, fuck, this whole action thing isn't working out, really. Or we're just kind of going off the rails and, like, making it way too fucking goofy. So let's take a step back. Let's try to bring the roots of Resident Evil back. They make Resident Evil 7. Everyone loves that fucking game. And then now they're like, let's remake 2... but, like, with the camera of 4, and it's just perfect. I almost want to, like, thank Resident Evil 6 at this point, because it's, like, I think that honestly is, like, the solution of, you know, because, like, Capcom is, you know, that game was not good, so.
I would put more credit in, like, 5 or 4 than I would 6, because, like, 6 just, like, it feels very different. Things feel loose and guns, like, don't feel good to shoot, but also, like, zombies, enemies, because they're not zombies, it's mostly, like, people that you're fighting, people with guns that you're fighting, that they don't feel good to hit, right? Like, I would say the Resident Evil 2 remake was announced before Resident Evil 7
was. That's true, yeah. Like you were saying, I forgot that.
And it was, like, they took a lot, because Resident Evil 6 came out in 2012, I believe, so they took a lot of time off. And really thought about what they wanted to do with that franchise.
Yeah.
There were spinoffs. Like, they had the Revelations games, which I would also, like, say, like, Revelations 1 and 2, probably, which play like this. Like, Revelations 2 basically plays like this.
Mm-hmm.
Does not feel quite as good, but it plays like this.
Are those technically good games?
Yeah, 2 is well-regarded. 1 initially came out on 3DS.
Because they're on Switch now. Like, both of them are on Switch.
It is not. They are on Switch.
Yeah,
I thought only 2 was.
They both are.
Cool. People like 1, but 2 is, like, regarded very well as, like, a return to form. A very good Barry Burns or whatever his last name is comes back in 2 in Revelations 2. So
yeah,
they're probably worth playing. They're not super scary either. The enemies in that game, from what little I've played, are very uninspired, I think, but. Outside of that, I think they're well regarded. So I would say, like, they've been really thinking about what they want to do. What's cool is from 2, they could remake 3, or they could, what I expect them to do is make a timeline that continues after 2.
Kind of like, I mean, you could say, like, the J.J. Abrams, like, Star Trek movies. Like, they're just
basically
making, like, their own fucking timeline of...
Is like
cool.
2 is canonically great and people love that game. Let's remake it, make it modern, and then continue off that game and do a different timeline.
Yeah.
Of, like, this is what Resident Evil would be if it wasn't quite as wild as 5 gets.
Maybe
let's not. We don't have to go to a volcano. We can stop pre-Tekken. Like, you know, like throwing your son into a volcano. It's great.
It's $20. It was a good $20 though.
It was a well-spent $20, a good 10 hours shared between the two of us,
and
a fun time.
It was really hot, because it was in July or something, I think.
Yeah, very warm. It was a toasty,
super hot
toasty
in my apartment
summer.
When I was playing that, and I was just like...
I remember. I believe you were naked at one point.
I almost took off my shirt, but I just kept opening the windows, and I couldn't do the AC because it was so loud.
In my heart, you were. So, yeah, like, I think there's a lot of exciting potential.
Yeah, I'm very excited. So
we're very excited. We hope you listening are very excited. Next episode will be after Resident Evil 2 comes out. I also like that they're just calling it Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, I do like that.
It's kind of badass.
It is badass. Capcom's giving us the middle finger. Or giving Resident Evil fans the middle finger.
Yeah, but they're also like remaking one of the...
best games.
Best games they've ever made. So like... we're going to play through the police station as Leon. Assuming that that is enough...
for an episode.
I assume that'll be like a thick chunk of the game. Maybe we will play more in episodes after that. Maybe not. We'll see.
Who knows? Yeah.
Police station seems pretty big. So
it does seem really big. That's what I'm worried about. Where I'm like, is that one episode? You know.
Yeah, there's a whole opening to that. We haven't seen yet. So. Because like the police station, I assume, is going to end at the sewers. So. There is more to see.
There's like the gun shop too and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So we will see. We're going to play that at the very least in the show notes for each episode. We will kind of let you know section we're talking about. So that way you can kind of check it if you don't want to get spoiled on it. But by the time you hear this, you'll probably be very close to RE2. Enjoy it. Savor it. Play along with us. There's no like social. I don't think there necessarily needs to be any social for this show. But yeah, just let us know if you like it.
Yeah.
Tweet at us.
We could do like questions or something like that. Just like thinking about it a little bit more, like maybe questions or.
I would say like we would probably, I'm at AlFighter27. Andrew, you're at Papa Drew Bear.
Yep.
We will probably solicit questions.
Yeah.
Before we sit down to record. So look out for that. If you like the show, like us, rate us on iTunes, subscribe. It's going to be a short run, but a good run is the hope.
I'm excited.
We're just both stoked about this game. This is very much like a passion project, I feel.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we have a kindred Resident Evil relationship.
Yeah. Going back, once again, it's weird for me. I don't like horror, but for some reason this game is just, I just want it like in my veins. I just want to keep playing it.
Yeah, I like horror video games.
I'm gonna get scared. I know I'm gonna get scared.
You are gonna get very scared. Yeah. Like, it is safe to say you shouldn't play this alone.
But I think like another thing, one more thing is like the fact that I'm doing this podcast, it's gonna force me to kind of like keep going.
Yeah,
and I think that will be really helpful.
Until you text me after the third episode releases and say I'm just gonna watch a Let's Play for this.
Yeah, that might happen. Who knows? Maybe that alligator.
No, I won't let you do that.
Shit out of me. Who knows? But
we'll hop on a PSN party chat.
I honestly might have to do that.
We might have to do it because I might get a little scared too. Yeah, so
I'm excited.
I hope you like this.
Yeah.
I hope you're excited about Resident Evil 2 as we are. For Andrew, I am Alex O'Neill, go save Raccoon City.